Thank you, Kane. 807 FM Talk 1065. This segment of Mobile Mornings brought to you by 1-800-GOT-JUNK. Fresh week to work with. The stuff that you didn't get around to it last week, get around to it this week by getting 1-800-GOT-JUNK to come to your business, to your home, to your storage unit, and get rid of that junk. Stuff you're not going to use, stuff that's cluttering your home, stuff that's cluttering your office, or stuff you're paying to store in a storage unit that you don't need. It's 1-800-GOT-JUNK's specialty, getting rid of the junk and getting it done quickly. And I do love the fact that you set specific appointment times, like a day, an actual numerical, like it could be 4 o'clock on a given day or 3 o'clock or 5 o'clock. You set an actual time. That's when they show up. They say, okay, we think the job's going to be this big. They quote your price. If you say yes, they get right to work. And by the way, even if it turns out to be a bigger job than they thought it was, it's okay. You still pay the price you agreed on in the first place. Make that appointment today, 1-800-GOT-JUNK, or online at 1-800-GOT-JUNK.com. They're also the sponsors of the online opinion poll question on the front page of FMTalk1065.com. Do you support the lottery being legalized in Alabama? Our very unscientific polling shows 86% of y'all do.
That's pretty strong. Yeah. 86% yes support the lottery.
Now, of course, what does that look like? There's the problem. And that's where the nuance comes in here. Okay, so we whittled this down. There was, let me point out, both lottery bills were brought by Republicans. Remember, every time I get some political historian on the show, I said, if I took you back in time 10 years ago, 15 years ago, and told you, in session 2019, Republicans would bring not just one, but two lottery bills. Mm-hmm. They'd push for a gas tax increase. At the same time, they would be the ones working on prison and prison overcrowding issues, and yeah, maybe some Medicaid expansion issues discussed, state worker pay raises, all these things. Would you believe that's a Republican platform? A lot of them would say no, but it is today. And what we've whittled down on the lottery side is you had the Mick lottery, which was Senator McClendon's bill, and then you had Senator Albritton's bill, which they called the clean or the paper lottery bill. That's the one that has the traction right now.
Which isn't that? Yeah, I'm sorry, but when you say something's a clean bill compared to the other one, that's kind of, you know, it's slanting the coverage.
Sure,
right?
Sure, sure. The difference was, and let me play the other side here and talk about McClendon's bill. McClendon's bill, while it would give these parimutuel betting places, the green tracks of the world, would give them the ability to run what would be called digital lottery.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I mean, once again, it is laughable. It is laughable in our state. People want to gamble, and we got to figure out, well, we're not really gambling because mm-hmm. it's they could do bingo. So on tribal lands, you can do video bingo, and on these other places, these charity bingo halls, you can do the video. Come on. Either I mean, it is, the nuance of it is ridiculous. Uh-huh. Either you gamble or you don't, okay? But it's Sweet Home Alabama, and we dance around that. So you have the McClendon bill has that aspect, but it also, I would say, the tip of the hat to the McClendon bill was it realizes that in the future, instead of having to go back and re-legislate this and move again and change things, that there will be, most likely in 10 years or whenever, you're going to be playing lotto on your phone.
Mm-hmm. Oh,
and they already have not only gambling, in-game betting we've talked about for sports on your phone, which I think, by the way, that you want to talk about the thing that will drive the most money ever in gambling is the once the game's going, you can bet, like, is he going to hit this kick or something like
mm-hmm.
that?
Yeah, you can bet, like in golf, per hole. You can say, I think Tiger Woods will win this hole compared to who he's going against. Or in football, I bet that Alabama will score on this drive or not. You can already do that. And I've seen on some offshore.
On your phone.
Yeah, I've seen on some offshore books, they've got lotteries on there.
Yeah, well, that's, and believe me, my whole argument has been, shouldn't we amend the Constitution of the state of Alabama to allow for lotteries, plural, and greenlight private companies in the state to be able to risk capital and put on a lottery? I mean, I've thought this through, but nobody wants to hear that in Montgomery. So back to where we are. So the McClendon bill that has, what I would say is, it at least looks forward to down the road, you'll be playing, most likely, if you're a lottery, you can play on your phone.
Mm-hmm.
Mine, it'll probably geofence something, make sure you're in the state. I don't know how I do, but then you go on and you have a virtual scratch off, and then you can pick your numbers, so you don't even have to get off the couch. What is it, Saturdays, they draw the lottery, so right before, oh, I forgot to get in the lottery. You know, we all work with this person. Well, I think it's worth me getting in now. It's up to $1 billion, because $10 million wouldn't help you there, Bob. People will be playing on their phone. So that's the McClendon bill. That's why the one thing that has not been said it's all been on the negative. You're right, on the slant. I would add that at least McClendon-Bill addresses the fact that down the road things will change, and it's ready for that. Now, back to the Albritton bill, the clean bill, as you know, we're talking about, is the paper lottery. It's physically holding a scratch-off thing and scratching off and getting, you know, all that rubber or whatever, the dust off there, or going in and picking your numbers and all those things, like you see in Florida.
Mm-hmm. You get the printed paper, and then you can sign it and send it in,
right?
I guess if you win, or you can just take it and take it back to the gas station where you want it.
So that's kind of what it would look like if they would go with it. But I want to point out it's two parts. First of all, you have to pass the constitutional amendment, which would apply to either lottery. The CA would say the state of Alabama Constitution is now amended to where lottery is legal, or this kind of gambling is legal. Although people have said that that would change and maybe mean class three gaming, which I don't get. To me, lottery is the opposite end of, like in-game sports betting to me is one end of addiction ability, and lottery is the other end. But people have different opinions. Okay, so it would change the Constitution, allow for the lottery. Second bill, you have the McClendon and you have the Albritton. It looks like the Albritton is what has attraction. Would then say, okay, we're going to have a lottery, and it's going to be a state of Alabama lottery. It's going to be the Sweet Home Alabama lottery, whatever it is. And then we'll pay the Skinner beneficiaries a bunch of money for that, right? And then you'll have then we'll have a lottery commission, and we'll have buildings here, and we'll have a campaign to do this and that and the other. So it'll build out how it works. Okay. Either one would do that. But the first part is pretty much the same between the two bills. You have to change the Constitution. Then you can describe the lottery. Looks like the Albritton one is the one, this just paper, that has the support. So that's out there. That's being pushed. Now, the push back, and that's why I said 86% say they support the lottery. I think they say they support the lottery, whatever it is. It's just give me lotto.
Regardless. Yeah, and I think a lot of people might not even play the lottery. Of course, a bunch of people that want the lottery to pass will play it when it's in Alabama. But a lot of people, I think, are looking at just another stream of income for the state and would like to see more money coming into the state's coffers, and they see lotteries maybe being that. And with only, what is it, five states now that haven't passed the lottery, a lot of people in the state are saying, hey, what... You know, other states are making money off of this, and our people are leaving Alabama and spending their money elsewhere. Why don't we just bring that money here to Alabama, even if I'm not playing the game?
And then, so there's the, talking about the money, where it goes. So the two, you know, you have the, how's the lottery structured, where the lottery commission, how you, okay. Then the other part is, where's the money go? Okay. And there's a difference between the McClendon bill and the Albritton bill. And that's, I got a text about that a second ago. About no funding for the lottery will go to education funding. Kind of, that is correct. And this is coming off of stories over the weekend. I know that J.D. Crow made a cartoon about it. And I will add this, that I like J.D. His work is beyond good. But his take here is that it was a Albritton and Senate President Pro Tem Del Marsh that built this thing to not fund education and to benefit the Porch Creeks. Now, I will argue this is going to benefit the Porch Creeks, sure. And there's some nuance, and we'll talk about it tomorrow when I'm live on in Montgomery with Midday Mobile about could this mean, and it's a kind of a convoluted system, but I've talked to people in the know that if this Albritton lotto bill passes for the state, it could greenlight the Porch Creeks to run Class 3 gaming. Like the whole thing, which is
wow.
Which just say that's what you're going to do, because I would rather us just gamble or not gamble in the state, but that's part of it. But then the no funding for education, right? Remember I said from the get-go that there would be an education component in this lottery,
right?
Okay, we'll see if I'm proven wrong. The reason I say that is you look around the country when they pass lotteries, no matter what the need was in budget, they would always say it's for the kids. For the kids.
Yeah, it's a layup. You'll get voters to the polls.
These kids, don't you want the kids to get some education? You know, if you want educated kids, you're going to vote for the lottery.
Not many people out there saying, no, I hate kids, and I don't want them to be smarter.
That's right. So what's the nuanced difference? Well, in the state of Alabama, our education funding is either, depends, Game of Thrones fans, what do y'all think? Is it north or south of the wall? Right now it's in King's Landing. It's safe. It's very safe right now because it stays behind what we call the Education Trust Fund wall. The ETF is separate from the general fund. We have two budgets in the state of Alabama because way back, you see so many things with earmarking and how our state governments run. People of Alabama, not just recently, have never trusted their legislators,
right?
Have put in guardrails all over to keep the legislature inside these certain lanes. One of them is putting certain revenue sources go into education trust fund. One of the things about the ETF, the revenue sources that go in there are revenue sources that grow, right? These are things that, as time goes on, the revenue gets bigger. Number of people, home values, those kind of things goes up.
Investments.
Sales tax. Okay, that stuff goes in and funds it. That's separate from the general fund that has static, or some people would say declining, revenue sources for the general fund. And you can look and compare and contrast, this idea that Alabama doesn't spend any money on students is not true. There are other states that spend a lot more per student. I agree. That is honest and truthful. There are states that spend the same or less than Alabama, which people don't realize. The Education Trust Fund has good funding mechanism. Now, are we getting the best result for the money we're spending? I think we can argue no in some cases and yes in other cases in public education. But it has its funding directly coming to it. So where are the issues every year? Where do we hear the issues? In the general fund. Alabama has bailed itself out for the last three or four sessions, be it federal largesse, it's BP money, it's all these things that have bailed us out. The state of Alabama has found that extra $50 bill in our jacket pocket right before the lights were turned off.
Over and over.
That's right. It's last minute thing. It's been, oh wow, we saved our butt.
Yeah.
Without a plan on how to do, to not have that happen next month and next month and next month.
Uh-huh.
Okay. So we're in that situation. So, and I understand what JD's coming from the heart here. JD Crone saying no funding for education. He's bothered by this lottery bill. But I would argue that the general fund, because of the earmarking, 93% of the general fund is earmarked. Because of the earmarking, because of the way revenue streams are neutral or declining in some cases, the general fund is more in need of the money than the ETF. I said in the past, we should have called it the Alabama lottery for prisons and roads.
Yeah.
But, of course, that wouldn't pass.
No, that doesn't work.
But that's where we need the money. Would we not be better off, since we have a very earmarked general fund budget and an ETF that has increasing funding sources, is it too far off the reservation for me to say, why don't we go with moving this money to the general fund with a plan from the Alabama legislature, how this is going to be allocated going forward, so we don't, at the end of every fiscal month, air quote here, get in a pickle when it comes for money. So the idea is to split the money here in the with the All Britain plan and money going to the general fund. So, and I know JD writes here, as is, this bill only serves the Poarch Creek Indians' future, leaving Alabama school children up a creek without a paddle. JD, man, dude, like, we're buddy. But I don't think that's fair. I don't think that's a fair assessment of what this is. I would, the blogs in the state that are bought and paid for by different interest groups are battling it out. You get 180-degree different opinions on what lottery is. I would tell them that that's on the margins. I think you look at our poll, that's not telling you anything about funding or type of lottery. People want a lottery.
Right.
And I think what the politicians are doing is taking the energy of the people that just want a lottery and trying to steer it to what they want to have happen with that revenue. Once again, if y'all listen any period of time, I'm not anti-children. I happen to have got a couple myself.
Mm-hmm.
But is it not okay for 100%, 50%, 25%, some percentage of that money to go to the general fund so the rest of the state can operate, so we don't go through what we did before with shutdowns what are we, 250 state troopers short? We had to, we raised the gas tax now to make up for our failing infrastructure. What about the general fund? If the mandate was going forward, the general fund will be have this money coming from the lottery, but there has to be a plan on how you're using it going forward to make sure we don't get in fiscal straits fiscal year after fiscal year after fiscal year.
Yeah.
There we go. All right. 821, coming right back. We'll grab some phone calls. 343-0106. And then, I get this. And we're going to, and we'll talk about hash browns and hands-free talking.
What? At the same time?
Exactly the same time. Coming right back. No dark side.
chasm in the classroom. Teacher, leave them kids alone.
Six FM Talk 106.5 and Mobile Boardings on this Monday. Sean and Dalton, Dr. Bill, Kane, and y'all. 343-0106. 343-0106 works for phone calls. Also can work for the text line. Got the phones now, though. Jim Bob is in Montrose. Hey, man.
Good morning, Mr. Sullivan.
Morning, man.
I know you've discussed funding in Alabama before and sources of funding. Including property taxes,
right,
or actually the lack thereof in Alabama.
Right.
I didn't know if you'd ever looked at the statistics as to the total acreage of row crop and pasture land and timber land compared to the total acreage in the state. Do you happen to know what that percentage is?
I do not. I am ignorant.
Well, it's about 95%.
Okay.
So I'm not saying that all of that is exempt through current use exemption, but all of it would be subject to it. And then, of course, there's other properties that are not agricultural or silviculture land that also receives exemption. But we never really have a serious discussion about that. If you've got row crop land and pasture land that is being taxed at $500 or $600 an acre when it's selling for that purpose, for growing row crop and pasture, for 10 times that amount, and that value for tax purposes with that exemption has never changed in over 30 years.
Yeah, and Jim Bob, let me take a second. For those that don't understand, what Jim Bob's saying is through current use, you have some timber ground, you have your ag ground, you have the assessed value, the same way you fight the assessment value on your house, right? They're going to tell you what it's worth. In the state of Alabama, land that sells for a lot more, whether it be recreational or timber or silviculture, or agriculture, you can get the price down of what it's worth. You can tell the state, man, it's not worth that.
No, but the formulas that were built into the code of Alabama years ago by special interest are so weighted toward,
sure,
those special interests, it's ridiculous. It's an absurd, egregious wrong against the people for the benefit of a relative handful of large landowners in and outside the state.
You know, we've talked about it in the past.
We can't afford it anymore. We can't afford this.
Well, okay, and we've talked about it in the past, and the chances of getting it changed, when that's been brought up, and believe me, I'm goring my own ox here, because of family and agriculture and all that. But yeah,
Washington County, right?
Yeah, and brought this up in the past, and when we do this, there doesn't seem to be support anywhere in the legislature, because where the money comes from.
They're either made up of those large landowners or controlled by those large landowners, and have been for generations. So, but it's just the elephant in the room that we won't talk about.
Oh, I will.
And all these other sources are raising gas taxes and sales taxes and lotteries and all this crap instead of dealing with vast land wealth that is virtually untaxed.
It's not virtually untaxed, but it's
not a socialist.
Yeah, and it's not untaxed. It is taxed. But it is a rate. I'll say this: when I've talked to people who've come around here and come down to hunt with me or whatever, and we talk about property taxes on timberland around here, I'll watch people from other states and watch their jaw drop, and they go, "Really?" I say, "Yeah, really. That's the tax."
Look at Clark County, for example, fourth largest in the state, 90-odd% timberland. That land rents for $10, $12, or more an acre just for hunting.
Yeah, good ground.
When the tax bill a year is $1.50,
that's right.
I mean, you're making 8, 6, 8, 10 times the amount of the property tax liability just in hunting rights every year.
There you go. I mean, Jim Bob, I appreciate the call. We're against the hard break here, but I mean, what you're saying is truthful. People may not want to change that, but what you're saying is truthful. And like I said, I got a dog in the hunt and an ox getting gored and the whole thing. I appreciate the call. I mean, it's like these issues that I talk about, and sometimes I go, well, why keep talking about them? Because nothing ever changes and happens here. Take your calls when we get back. 343-0106. Plus, this hash browns, hands-free hash browns. We've got to get into this. Y'all stay close.
Thank you, Kane. 836 on FM Talk 106.5, and this is Mobile Mornings on a brand new week. It's time to head to McConnell Automotive, where we talk to Mitch McConnell. Hey, Mitch.
Good morning, Dalton. How are you, buddy?
I'm doing great. We enter the last couple days of April. That means not much time to get out to McConnell and participate in the great Pink Tag Sale.
Yeah, you know, Dalton, I think people just need to go to my website. These are the last 2 days, and the reason is, I think, you know, we talk about FOMO, fear of missing out.
Mm-hmm.
and literally, I want people to picture in their minds, I think we have 9 remaining Z71s is a great example, 18 models. And we're taking the sticker price, and General Motors has helped us, Dalton, and over $13,000 off the sticker price, almost $14,000. We've got Yukons, we've got Acadias, things are at least 16% off, 11% off Yukons, 16% off Acadias. And this is hands down, you know, like Ricky Bobby, if you ain't first, you're last. I mean, this is literally the best deals we've had in 6 months, and we only have them through tomorrow. So I want people to hurry up, take advantage of it. And heck, man, we are slinging metal. So if you don't like the price you see, make us an offer. Maybe we can take it, because we literally have bigger rebates than we've had in 6 months, and all the Buicks are included, buddy. So, man, jump on it between now and tomorrow, Dalton, for everybody listening, and just go to McConnellAutomotive.com and do the shopping online, man.
All right, not much time left. We appreciate it, Mitch.
Got to move fast, Dalton. Y'all have a great Monday, buddy.
That's Mitch McConnell. Make sure you go see him and the crew at McConnell Automotive on Dauphin Street, just east of I-65.
Right, 838 FM Talk 106.5. Take some calls here at 343-0106, plus get some of your text. And we will, I promise, we're going to get the hands-free hash brown story in just a second. I'll go to Art in Fairhope next. Hey, Art.
Good morning.
Morning.
Kudos to Dr. Phil. Say it is.
Yes.
My wife and I were watching TV the other day, and the advertised Georgia's Hope Lottery came on. Hope Scholarships.
Right.
And she said, that's great. The lottery will give us a big boost for education. And I think it's the way that the proponents of the lottery are presenting this and advertising it is at least disingenuous. And they need to be called on it and tell the truth about what's really in the lottery bills before they try that scam.
And we're going to do that. And I know we're going to have an in-depth dive tomorrow on it for live from Montgomery. But, Art, does it make a difference? This is, I think, a fair question. Does it make a difference what the funding of the lottery goes to, or for whether or not you would vote yes on the lottery?
Well, it does in respect to the fact that I get aggravated they're not being honest about what they're
doing. Oh, I'm with you there. We're gonna make sure everybody knows. But, I mean, that's what I'm saying. Does it make a – because I've said it through – you know, I joked way back, and not even joked. I said, seriously, this lottery will have some education component, which it looks like it doesn't, because I've seen it everywhere else. They use the education, the emblem. That's the blood over the door, right, to pass a lottery.
Exactly right. And I might vote against it just because of the way they present it.
Because you feel you're not being given the straight news on this.
That's absolutely correct.
Well, and I appreciate the call. So the way we understand it here, and there's, remember, it's hard to keep up with this. It's why, you know, this is our job, and we're here to help you do this. And why we always say, watch Montgomery. Mm-hmm. Watch Montgomery. I know Washington's interesting. We still talk about national politics. We still talk about the president. We got a lot of shows on that do just that. We watch Montgomery for you because there's not as many people doing that. There were two bills. There are two bills. There was the McClendon bill and the Albritton bill. Okay. McClendon bill was the one that they said, well, would green light the green tracks of the state to be able to run this digital lottery. I think that's true in what I've read. Also, like I tried to just throw in to muddy the waters earlier, it also gave some language there for a lottery to be able to evolve in the state if we had gone digital in the future.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like instead of having to go back and legislate it, if we're playing it on our phones or something, I don't think that's crazy to think we'd be doing that, that it would be open to that. So that's the McClendon bill, the one they call Mick Lottery. Now, the Albritton bill is one they call the clean. And like you said, that taints the conversation. But the clean bill, which is a paper lottery, in other words, it looks like Florida. You got the, in your quick picks, or you go in with your numbers and you fill in the Scantron, you get a scratch scratch off. You scratch off the little rubberized coating off there and
your
find out if you're a winner.
What people think of when they think lottery.
Mm-hmm. And there's the other component in the state of Alabama. What happens with the lottery in the state? What does that mean to tribal lands in the Poarch Creeks? So they're calling the All Britain. This is, and like I started the hour talking about J.D. Crow, his cartoon, showing that this is for the behest of the Poarch Creeks. It does benefit the Poarch Creeks. It sure does. But at the same time, is that the design of this to benefit the Poarch Creeks, or is that, in other words, did they construct it this way to help the Poarch Creeks, or is it just actually work itself out for the Poarch Creeks? Yeah, I don't think if you're a fair arbiter of this, you can't help but say the All Britain Bill benefits the Poarch Creeks. Is that a reason to throw the whole rest of it out? Remember, I'm the guy that wants to throw the whole thing out because I think we should just legalize private lotteries.
Right.
And the state should stay out of it, and people should risk private capital to run lotteries, and the state could take revenue from a licensing for the lottery and a percentage of revenue. But who's listening to me? Instead of having the state involved, just like ABC stores, why the state is... It's not the job of government, but... Nobody's listening to that. So back to
maybe they shut down the ABC stores, as we're talked about, and those ABC employees become lottery employees.
Is this what they'll do? We'll shift them to the new lottery commission because there'll be a lot of additional. If you're running the lottery, it takes people to run the lottery.
Mm-hmm.
So they're going to be voting on two things: constitutional amendment, which is the same for both bills, which basically says, "Hey, state of Alabama says our constitution's changed, now you can have lotteries." Second part is the McClendon bill or the All Britain bill. All Britain bill has the most traction right now, and the funding is, like JD pointed out, is true, is not going to education. I'm just offering as a thought. Is that okay, or is that immediate? And Art has talked about the fact that this is not being discussed, and Art, we will continue to discuss it here on the show. That the funding doesn't go to education. But in the same breath, don't you have to ask the question, should it? I know that's so unpopular. I don't ask that rhetorically. I ask that as an honest question. I'll ask the members of the legislature that too. Do we have, because the funding sources, even though, like Jim Bob pointed out earlier, what could be done with property tax revenue in the state, but the funding sources, at least with the ETF, the Education Trust Fund, can grow over time. You have the general fund that has static or declining revenue sources, and then you have 93% of that budget earmarked. In other words, you take revenue from whatever this thing is. The state has excise tax on this or whatever, and it goes directly to one department. Devil be damned whether that department needs more money this year and another department needs less or whatever it is. It is a straight line from this funding thing. Well, okay, you charge this in the state, and then that goes directly to that department. Is it worth discussing unearmarking some of it? Some of it makes sense in use taxes. The more people use a thing. And I want to talk about that. Hopefully, we'll talk more about Alabama State Parks today on the midday show.
Mm-hmm.
You could say, should the fees that people pay to get into a state park go back to the state parks to run them? I think you can make somewhat of an argument there. But this random excise tax going to fund this department, just because that's what, when they needed funding, they put this tax in and they linked it to that. That's the kind of Byzantine system that is left with, Our constitution's like a car that has 18 coats of bad paint on it. They're all kind of flaking off in different places and different places they're holding. And so we've got a convoluted system, but within that convoluted system, is it not fair to ask whether we should put that money? I mean, right now the number one pressing needs on our triage list, prisons. I've been talking about this for 5 years on the show, six years on the show. Now it seems like it's the subject du jour.
Yeah.
This is a big deal, y'all. If you go Google what happened in California when there was a federal receivership of their prisons, it is bad all around for our state. So that has to be fixed. And then the year-to-year issue with the general fund, we've been bailed out in Alabama, be it by federal dollars, be it by BP money. They were always finding that extra $50 in the jacket pocket right there before payday to make things work. We got to figure out something in Alabama where we're budgeting so it's not panic time. Every time, and whether that is reducing the cost of government, which I'm on board for,
mm-hmm.
and securing a nimble funding source, one that can be used, even though I got all this earmarked money, but this year this group over here needs more money because of something we didn't foresee happening, that you can move money to that department
just being
to
help flexible. Balance
it, being flexible, which you, with a 93% earmarked budget, you can't be flexible.
No.
Only 7% flexibility. So is it a fair discussion that the All-Britain bill, with the funding going to general fund, actually, part of it goes to pay back the oil and gas trust fund, right? Mm-hmm. Which is the revenues that come from the oil and gas deals that come through basically Mobile and Baldwin County. It's got to pay the money the state has taken from that back, and then it'll be 100% general fund. So I think it's a 50-50 split at first, general fund, 50-50, pay back the rainy day fund, the oil and gas trust fund. Once that's paid back, 100% goes to the general.
So what's the process from here? Go back through the House and the Senate?
Yeah, so the House has it right now, and that's what will be happening tomorrow when we're in Montgomery. The House will be looking at this lotto bill. And if it works out for them with a few changes here, you think the Senate signs back off on it, goes to the governor's desk.
And then,
so it's out of the Senate. It's over in the House
and
now.
And if governor signs it, then we're looking at a popular vote, maybe?
Okay. Yeah, so what you would have, the first part, it'd be 2020.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so don't think you're going to be seeing lotto the next day. If it would, the first part the governor would sign, if it's passed, the first thing that would be signed off on is to put a ballot on the ballot, a constitutional amendment, and then we the people would vote whether the state changes our constitution to allow for lottery.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, everything can be signed. The governor can sign it. It can be signed, sealed, and delivered until a majority of people in 2020. Next year, vote yes for that constitutional amendment. Nothing happens. They vote yes at that point, and we've decided. Then the second part will be the different competing bills. How will it look? Will it be paper? Will it be digital? You know, all these things. That stuff will be written out. So it's a two-parter, just like so many things. You first got to change the constitution, and then you've got to vote on the framework of what that will look like. So, and speaking of what's going on in Montgomery for a second, before we run to the break, I want to get Dalton to give us a story, because I've said to y'all, you know, like usual in session, there's a bunch of bills come up that are feel good or politicians telling you they're doing something for you. And believe me, they probably in a lot of cases come from the heart. I believe when you have hands free and no texting and driving and all that, I drive on the roads, my family's on the road, I get it. But I often point out we have laws to address those things, and sometimes having you have to be pulled over for something else, to get busted for something. These are tack-ons. These are political bills that are being moved through to make politicians have something to talk about and say, well, I did this for you and I did that for you. One of the ones this year is this hands-free, right? Moving to hands-free, you cannot touch your phone at all. Even though I pointed out, you can touch. Didn't say you can't touch your iPod.
Yeah.
Doesn't say you can't touch your digital navigation system in your
GPS,
vehicle.
Yep.
It doesn't say that. Hadn't thought about that, because you can't touch
it. Even pull out an old map.
Old map. You could read the newspaper. No, you can't, because it's distracted driving,
right?
Just like texting is.
Mm-hmm.
But we've talked about all the things that could be considered distracted driving, and you had this story about hash browns. And Van, we saw your hash brown pictures. Thank you on the text line.
That was great, and it fits well with this story, because that is the exact hash brown that we're discussing here. Over the weekend, they settled this case that actually began back April 11th of last year, and this guy from Connecticut, Jason Stiber, got pulled over in Westport by a police officer named Sean Wong-Won. Wong-Won, his last name.
Is this a real story?
This is a real story. And the driver testified, or the police officer testified, that he saw Stiber moving his lips as he held an object that resembled a cell phone to his face while he was driving. So he pulled him over and gave him a $300 ticket for distracted driving, because he thought he had a cell phone next to his face. But Stiber's lawyer, who in court, and they settled this over the last week, he countered. He said that those lip movements were actually consistent with chewing, because his client had just purchased a hash brown from McDonald's immediately
in the little hash brown sleeve.
In the hash brown sleeve, and that he was actually eating a hash brown and he wasn't talking on a cell phone. So Stiber made a Freedom of Information Act request to acquire records that showed that this police officer was on the 15th hour of a 16-hour double shift, might have had less than ideal judgment, and spent his own money and also 13 months of his life, we're talking about this happened last April, to prove that he was not driving distracted with a cell phone. I mean, we're talking about a $300 ticket here,
right?
But that he was just eating a hash brown. He said that he did it on principle, that he wanted to show that, you know, these tickets,
good for him,
even though it's just $300, it's worth fighting because so many people, their insurance goes up with these tickets.
Yep.
And so he wanted to fight this, and he actually won the case. The judge found that he was not guilty, and his attorney called this the case of the century, which was kind of funny. But, you know, it's a big deal because we talk about this like, oh, yeah, I agree completely. We need to have this new cell phone law, but we don't talk about the unintended consequences, like people getting $300 tickets for eating a hash brown.
But you can go back and argue, and we'll do this, like I've said, with distracted driving. Aren't you equally distracted if you go digging for some fries that fell under the seat there, as you would be taking a phone call?
Yeah.
I mean, but nobody's pushing a no eating food in the car law. So why don't we make it a blanket? If you're not doing your job paying attention to driving, I don't care whether you're chewing the fat,
mm-hmm.
you get the ticket. Huh? That doesn't have as much political capital.
It's not as fun.
No, it didn't. All right, 8:52, we'll be right back. Fifty-seven FM Talk 106.5 and Mobile Boarding's getting ready to wrap up on this Monday. Mike Gallagher Show next. Be back at noon today. Some more in-depth dive to what's happening this week in Montgomery. Talk to Todd Stacy from Alabama Daily News. He'll be our leadoff batter, but a whole bunch more coming up on today's show. And then tomorrow, Midday Mobile, live from Montgomery. Legislature back in session. Lotto is the discussion, and we're taking the show on the road and heading. I think we're heading to last time we were in Secretary of State John Merrill's office. Mm-hmm. I think we're in Ledbetter's office this time. Because what we're doing, and I say we because I don't have a mouse in my pocket, but no, Jeff Hoare is coming down from Huntsville and doing his shows for the Huntsville market from there. And what we're constantly on the search for in Montgomery?
Internets
that are not horribly slow. It is the State House. They have like a media room, okay? You go to the media room and do your show there. Hey, what about the internet in here? Well, we don't have that.
No.
I said, well, what about the Wi-Fi? Oh, yeah, we don't give that out.
Wi-Fi.
Members of the legislature I've talked to off record, say, I think most of them probably say it on record, but they said the Wi-Fi password, these are members of the legislature, House and Senate, if they need internet, they have to take their phone to a security person who takes a phone from them, puts the code in to get them in the internet, and they're not allowed to know it.
Oh, my goodness. So you might end up doing the show from a Starbucks.
That's why we go to various members of, like, Secretary of State John Merrill pays his own money to put his internet in, so does Ledbetter, so we go to their offices. But that'll be tomorrow. This is today. Mike Gallagher Show is next. Y'all have a good one.